Okay. We're later, right? Okay. Tonight's shir is L'zecher Nishmas Rivka Bas Avram Shlomo. That's Dr. Horowitz's mother. And the Shama should have an aliyah, the schus of the Divrei Torah that we that we're about to get involved with. Shara. Okay. The last couple of weeks we've been discussing the topic of Pshara and its relationship to Din, and we basically have suggested that there are two, broadly speaking, there are two approaches. One is that Pshara is an abdication of Din, and that it really is a form of shalom, of peace. Peace isn't such a... it's not a second-rate value either. So the competition between Pshara and Din is a competition between two very critical, indispensable values in Yahadus. One is Din, and the other is Shalom. And that's certainly an acceptable understanding of the sugya. However, what I was trying to suggest is that at least according to some of the Tanoim and Amoraim, some of the Mefarshim, some of the Rishonim, some of the Achronim, some of each, it's not just a contrast between Din and Shalom, it's really two perspectives, or two, I would say, types of Din itself. There's the hardcore Yikov HaDin HaSahar, objectified Din, the Din that is a low plug, the Din that is Mishpat Echad Yilachem under all conditions and circumstances, for every group of protagonists, across millennia of geographically spread out Jewish history. That's one kind. That's the typical din or mishpat that we speak of. And there's also another kind of din, and that is to take the principles of the first din, right? But they have a more flexible opportunity to apply them so that the principles or the concepts are really driving the result, but that, it's not a zero-sum game, it's not either chayiv or patur, it doesn't have to be objectified because of the protections needed for all of the rest of this. So it's a more specific application, and therefore maybe a more ambitious form of din itself. That's really what we are suggesting, and we're trying to document that particular issue. So one of the things that we saw was that if we think, for example, that Pshara is Lefnim Meshura Sadin, and that Lefnim Meshura Sadin, according to some Rishonim, is a type of or an application of Din itself, things like Bar Metzra, Rashi and Ramban say also Pshara. The Ramban certainly thinks that Lefnim Meshura Sadin isn't an abdication, it isn't chesed rather than din, it's the, it's going the extra mile, it's the spirit of the law in addition to the letter of the law. And if that's really the case, then if that's exemplified by Pshara, then what we're really saying is that Pshara is not merely shalom, Pshara is a form of din. On the other hand, we also had an interesting discussion in the Sugya Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, which we read last time, which is where the Gemara says that there are two psukim. One is Betzedek Tishpot Amisecha. The other is Tzedek Tirdof. The Gemara says Echad L'Pshara V'Echad L'Din. And there's a debate how to read that. So Rashi says that this one pasuk, Tzedek Tirdof, which appears in Parshas Shoftim, as we know, right, means Tzedek, one Tzedek, Echad L'Din, and Echad, the second Tzedek L'Pshara. Which is also fascinating, because it just means that in one pasuk we're talking about din and pshara, which maybe increases the likelihood that we're talking about a variation of the same topic. However, the Ad Ramah, just one more second, goes even a step further and says that the words betzedek tishpot amisecha, that refers to hardcore, low plug, objectified din. And tzedek tirdof, refers, the whole pasuk, the double tzedek, refers to pshara. And then the Ramah goes on to explain, why is there need for double tzedek and pshara, and only a single perspective of tzedek for din. And I'm going to read that Ramah, because I copied that for this week. I'm going to read the language of the Ramah, and then we'll see the language of the Ramah back on Dav Vav and Dav Zayin as well. So this is very impact. This question, or this perspective, of whether din and pshara is din and shalom, or din and super din, if you will, is consequential for numerous issues. We talked last week about Eni Odeya, we talked about the possibility of Taus, and we're going to continue talking today about one of the things we began to speak about last week, and that is the number of Dayanim required, Makshinan Pshara Ledin. But before we do that, we're going to look at the language of the Yad Ramah quickly, but first I'm going to take, there's a question. Yeah.
We can view Aaron, the Kohen, as the exemplar of Shalom Pshara. But is there any instance in the Torah that we can point to that the actions of Hashem could be construed as being Shalom?
That's an interesting question. I'd have to think about it. Again, we don't have, you know, a Psak Din so much in the more traditional. We have Elokim, and we have Mishpat, you know, Hadin, or Midas Hadin, but we don't, you know, Elokim Tzvakos, Vayig Vashem Tzvakos Badin, because the Rabbanu Shalom is associated with Din, but he's also associated with Shalom, right? Misha Shalom, Shlomo, Misha Shalom, Shalom is one of the Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But actually rendering Din, or rendering Pshara, let me think about it. Interesting question. What?
The Akeda?
No, not really. I mean, the Akeda is a tzivui, and, you know, and a tzivui which, you know, appears to be one thing and ends up being something else, but that isn't, it isn't the Pshara in any way. So I'm not sure. I have to think about it. It's an interesting question. Okay. This idea that double tzedek is required for pshara, according to the Yad Ramah, is explained by him in the following way. If you look at the sheets in front of you, everybody has. Okay, today is going to be a Yad Ramah day, you know, Yad Ramah appreciation day. The Yad Ramah, of course, is a towering figure. He was really the giant in Mefarshei Sfarad before the Ramban, right? Because he was a little bit before the Ramban, he was, you know, he had the misfortune in a way of coming a little bit before the Ramban, because he ended up being eclipsed, you know, by the Ramban. You could be a great man and your contribution could be seminal, you know, and you could still be easily eclipsed by the Ramban, right? So, but we have the Ramah's Perush, of course, on Sanhedrin and Baba Basra, and especially his Perush on Sanhedrin is really, incredibly important. So this is another example of it. So the first entry here is Yad Ramah Masechet Sanhedrin Lamed Beis Lamed Beis. We're told, Tanya, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdov. Uksiv b'tzedek tishpot amisecha. Echad adin, right? B'tzedek tishpot amisecha. This is the Ramah's view, that the Echad adin isn't one of the tzedeks, like Rashi, but it is the pasuk, the whole pasuk, of b'tzedek tishpot amisecha. The hachimashma lishma de tishpot, the language of tishpot is used in connection with gabe dinakoi, k'tziv u'shafatetem. Right? Ushvatatem. So that's Mishpat. Tzedek. Tzedek, right? I'm sorry. Ushvatem tzedek. Tzedek is adin. Sorry. V'yacharkach chadcheyu. V'echad l'pshara. That's tzedek, tzedek, tirdov. Okay? Umidiloksiv ba loshon mishpat, says the Ramah. Since in that pasuk, unlike b'tzedek tishpot amisecha, there's no reference to mishpat. Shema mina. Gabe Pshara Koi, that this is a reference to Pshara, to compromise. The Haidachsiv Chad Tzedek Gabe Din Utre Gabe Pshara. Why does it mention a double language of Tzedek for Pshara and not for Din? Here's the key line. Mishum de Din Loboi Iyuna Vitzilusa Kulahai. Because Din does not require that level of Iyun. Right, that level of clarity and depth, as does Pshara. I know this is a little bit counterintuitive. If we think that pshara means shalom, right, then, you know, this is probably not correct. But if we think that pshara is super din, meaning it's a fine-tuned, more just din on the basis of the principles, but applied in a very, you know, specific way, then it's totally understandable. He says, Ela lemifseke aliba de hilchasa. All you need in din, you don't need iyun, and you don't need silusa. All you need to do is know the halacha and apply it properly. We're not really concerned that you're going to make a mistake, that you're going to paskin incorrectly. Pshara requires extra investigation and analysis. And to investigate, right, and to assess properly. Vilaros mi mehen omer emes v'al mi roi lahak mir yoser, right? Who is telling the truth? Meaning, pshara is not about shalom. Pshara is about digging deeper into the truth. V'al mi roi lahak mir yoser. Who, right, should we go that extra mile for in terms of being more just? So this is a very interesting interpretation. Then he has Vista Mefarshi, the Chiamrina Nechad the Pshar Travayo Akrod Tzedek Tzedek Tirdov Koy. Komer Ditzrich the Mikta Bey Tzedek Tzedek Trezimne Echad the Din Echad the Pshara. Tzedek Din Shocha Tzedek Pshara Shocha. That of course is the interpretation of Rashi, which the Rama is merely quoting. But his own contribution is this fascinating idea that you need double Tzedek for Pshara, rather than, rather than din. Okay, so we're going to see that this was the Rama's view elsewhere as well. So let's go back to our Gemara and Davav Amud Aleph for the moment. So if you remember the Gemara, I'm just going to read back a couple of lines that we've already done, but that are very important. The Gemara here says that originally, again, the context was Shmuel's halacha. Right, whether Shnaim Shadanu Dineim Din or Ein Dineim Din. And the question is as follows. Maybe the argument that we encounter regarding Pshara, compromise, reflects the question whether or not Shnaim Shadanu Dineim Din, whether two judges or three judges are necessary. So the Gemara says like this. Maila, one second. In the middle of the page, we've done it, but I just want to. Everybody have it? It's like in the middle of the page on Bava Menalev. Let us say that there's a machlokas atanai, right? Because we learned that bitzua bishlosha divrei Rabbi Meir. What is bitzua? Rashi says, bitzua, pshara. You don't need Rashi to tell you that because it's clear from the continuation of the Gemara. We're talking about the same thing. But bitzua requires three, according to Rabbi Meir. Chachamim amrim, pshara, biyachid. You only need one. But of course, the literary question is obvious. Why the shift from the language of Bitsua to Pshara? Is this just, a way of, avoiding, a repetitive terminology? Or is there something going on here? Is there a link between the Mandamar who says three and calling it Bitsua and the Mandamar who says one, right, who's characterizing it as Pshara? All right, we'll see in a moment. Savrua, the Gemara says, of Kulama Makshinim Pshara Ladin. Originally, we thought that this debate about Pshara is based on a common premise, and that is that whatever is true for Din is true for Pshara, and therefore, my love, Bahokam Iflagi, Demar Savar Din Bishlosha, Demar Savar Din Bishnayim, that the debate revolves around what is required in Din, and that is reflected by extension regarding Pshara. So the Gemara says, lo, that's wrong. The Kula Alma Din Bishlosh. Everybody agrees that Shnaim Shadanu Ein Dineim Din, that you require three Dayanim. V'hacha v'hacha miflagi. But the debate centers around the following. The Mar Savar Makshinan Pshara Ladin. Mar Savar Lo Makshinan Pshara Ladin. The real debate is not what the Din of Din is, but whether or not Pshara is patterned after Din or not. The Mandamar who holds three, Rabbi Meir, thinks that Pshara follows Din. The Mandamar who says one, right, thinks that even though Din requires three, Pshara, which is a totally different category, is going to be accomplished by one. And then the Gemara continues and says, Lemet plus a Tanaim, maybe there are three Tanaim, the Pshara, the Mar Savar Shlosha, Mar Savar Shnaim, Mar Savar Biyakid. We have three Mandamrim, three, two, and one. So the Gemara says, Amrav Acham Brein Ravika, Vitem Rav Yemer, Bar Shlamya, Mandam Artroi Afilu Chad Nami, from a Pshara, from a Psak, from a Hachra point of view, the one who says two also thinks that one is sufficient. The Haida Kamar Trey, the reason that he says two, is Kihechi Dilahave Ale Sahadi, because he also wants to have two people as opposed to one, in case a dispute arises, the two can also serve as Edim to testify that this was the agreement, or this was the conclusion. Then the Gemara says, Amravashi Shmamino, Pshara Eina Tzricha Kinyan. It would seem from here that Pshara doesn't require a Kinyan. The Isokatayt of Tzricha Kinyan, we'll get to this in a moment. Right? Why do you need three and a Kenyan? Lamali, why do you need three? Tisagi betray. Let there be two for the sake of Eidos, right? And Viliknimine. Since it's a Kenyan, you have the commitment, you have the evidence of the commitment. Why do you need three? Nonetheless, the Gemara says, and we'll have to get back to this, that the Hilchasa Pshara Tzricha Kenyan. Pshara does require a Kenyan. Rashi says, Afilu Nasis Bishlosha. So we'll get back to the question of Shara Tzricha and Tzricha Kinyan in just a couple of minutes. Just I want to read a few more lines in the Gemara. But so far, it's what we're left with is that the Gemara is telling us that the argument of how many Dayanim in Pshara, right, is based on the argument whether Makshina and Pshara Ledin. Now, you don't have to say this, but it's certainly eminently logical. It's very appealing, even, to say that the argument whether or not Pshara is patterned after Din, Makshin and Pshara Ledin, exactly is our discussion. Right? The more we think that Pshara is an abdication of Din, and it is merely founded on Shalom, on peace, then why should it be patterned after the details of Din? But if we think that Pshara, right, is a form of Din, albeit an upgrade of Din, a tweaking of Din, a more flexible or ambitious Din, whatever it is, at least default, we would start off with the trappings of Din, including the requirement of three Dayanim, if that's what's required in Din. It's not Mukhrach. You can distinguish in either direction. You might say, whatever the differences are between Pshara and Din, even on the level of Din, they account for a different configuration. Similarly, you could say the opposite. You could say, even if we're dealing with a matana, a shalom-based din, it still kind of simulates the process of din. So what I'm saying is not at all forced. It's not compulsory that you have to make this connection. But it's certainly very logical to say that the argument of whether or not makshina and pshara ledin is a machlokas, whether pshara is a form of din or an abdication of din, as we'll discuss. Again, mashal amad avredome, a parallel issue, the issue that Tosas discusses that we brought up at the end of the last year, and that is, do you need a unanimous decision? And let's say, according to the Mandamar, that you require three Dayanim, and Makshinam Pshara Ledin. But Tosas points out, nonetheless, there's still a huge difference between Pshara and Din. Tosas Timurasal Bitsua, the Gimel, Afagav de Makshinam Pshara Ledin. Right, the second Tosis on the page. Lav lekol davar makshina. It's not an absolute equation. The bedin azin basaruba im shnayim omrim zakai ve'achad omer chayiv o ipcha. If there's a 2-1 majority in either direction when it comes to din, as we know, majority rules. However, ubipshara lo azal basar ruba ad shiaskimu shloshtan ledas echad. However, when it comes to the matter of Pshara, you require a unanimous decision. And that unanimous decision, meaning all three Dayanim. So why is that? Is that because, really, even though we simulate Din, it isn't Din? Right? Or is it because it is a form of Din, but on the contrary, part of the tweaking process, part of this higher aspiration of coming to a more specific, personal din requires that, we really get the consensus of all three Dayanim. And as we're not going to veer from objectified din, right, unless it's something that is very compelling. Right, so that might be a reason to require unanimous decision in Pshara. Or what I mentioned last time, which was based on the Tumim has this idea that the only reason that in Dayanim, we go by the majority rule and we don't say Ein Hochem B'Mamon Acharov is because the Dayanim are playing a zero-sum game. Meaning, you know, if whatever the two say, you know, is contradicted by the third, and therefore they cannot abide each other. So, you know, they just cannot exist in the same forum, and therefore the two wipe out the third, and the minority view is invalidated completely. It's Kamisha Eino. That's how the Tumim interprets. But what I'm trying to suggest is that's true in Din, where you're either Chayiv or Zakai. But in the case of Pshara, just like we explained that maybe you don't need a Bez Din Nota, you don't need an odd-numbered Bez Din, according to Marsha, Rashi discussion, right? Because there's more than one option here. There's not a right and a wrong. There's some gray area in between, which is exactly what we are trying to investigate. So maybe, this is my suggestion, maybe according to the Tumim, you wouldn't apply the din of majority rules in Pshara for the same reason that there might not be a din of Bez Noten Pshara, namely because there don't have to be only one right answer. But there is a distinction between Pshara and Din according to Moshe Shana. I should mention that the Riaz disagrees. The Riaz in the Shulti Giborim says that just like in Din majority rules, so too in Pshara majority rules. The Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin like the Bali Tosas. That seems to be the mainstream of view. Okay, so what I want to do, was there a question or we're good?
I have a question.
Yeah.
I don't understand the significance of whether it's one, two, three. It has to be where the Bali Din and Makabo.
No. Because
they agree
to what if
they can impose a
Shura? No. Also, no. No, so let me explain. We did discuss this last week, but let me just recap this point because you're right. I mean, it's a little misleading. We discussed it. We talked about the Gemara and Hayom and Beis. On the one hand, the default in any din Torah situation is din, and therefore you cannot impose pshara on the Bali dinim. All things being equal, I'll tell you the exception in a minute, right? And that's true. However, as the Ran and some of the other Rishonim explain, and probably even more agree, that's not the same as Hischaivus and Kiblo Alai to the result. What it means is that you cannot force this process upon these Bali Dinim, right? They have to agree to concede, right, what their right to absolute objective Din, and to go the route of Pshara. But it doesn't mean that they know the parameters of the final settlement when they do that. So according to the Ran, it's even more than that. According to the Ran, they go to Bez Din and they say, we're Makabel Pshara. And then they're not even accepting the Dayanim upon themselves. Then Dayanim can swoop in on them and impose a Pshara. Other Rishonim don't think it's quite that much. Maybe they have to go to certain Dayanim and say, we want you to give us a Pshara. But it's still not the agreement. They might be very unhappy in the final agreement. That's what the difference is. Now, the Riaz, let me just repeat that point also. Just one more second. The Riaz, who is a very big advocate of this idea that Pshara of the Dayanim, the Pshara imposed by Dayanim, is a form of Din, a specialized form of din, based on the principles of halacha. He says that very clearly. And he's the one who says that it's majority rule also, because he thinks it's din. He says there are two types of pshara. There's a pshara of the dayanim, which is what we're talking about now, and then something else, and that's called a pshara of the Bali dinim. At any point, if the Bali dinim agree to, either whether it's their own idea or somebody else's agree, that they sign on to, meaning they sign on to the final details and result, that's a kind of pshara that'll work. But that is certainly only shalom. That's not a form of din. That's not what we, according to the Riaz, what we mean by pshara in the Gemara here, when we talk about their committing to the process, right, and not knowing yet the details of the solution. Okay?
In the second form, could a woman be on that basis?
Well, a woman could be a Kiblo Alai judge too, you know, at least according to the Rishonim who say that about Dvora, right? Nemanolai Abba, Nemanolai Bicha, Nemanolai Gimel Roy Bakar. So there are certain things can't, a non-Jew according to the Ramban, a Hedyotos according to a Daraisa according to the Chiddush Aran, things we spoke about earlier in the year. A Ger, there's a debate, a Ger where a Ger is Mufka from being, and the case is that he can't be a Dayan, like Dine Nefashos, etc. According to some Mefarshim, it seems to be a debate between the Baal Amor and the Ramban and others, he might be Mufka even through Kiblolai. So the question about Nashim is an important question. In the Devorah story, we're hearing a lot about it, you know, recently, 95% of the Rishonim are of the opinion that Devorah was not a real Dayan. It was Kiblu Alai. So what they do think is that Kiblu Alai applies to Nashim. They don't think that she was a Dayan. Right? Now, there are other Rishonim who give different answers to that question, who may even think that Kiblu Alai doesn't apply to Nashim. It's hard to know. But Kiblu Alai will work. A Dayan, if you want a real Dayan for Pshara, which is what typically we're dealing with, we're not usually dealing with Kiblu Alai and the quality of the Dayanim, then Nashim will be excluded. You need real Dayanim, like you need for regular Din Torah, which means, you know, Gedolim, not Ktanim, not Krovim, right, not Psulim, and Anashim, not Nashim. Yeah?
I would say by Dvorah, but he shaftas Yisrael, which would not really be consistent with the Lashon of the Yadamah.
I'm sorry, I'm not following.
He used the Lashon of Shafta by Dvorah, and according to the Yadamah, Shafta means Din.
No, I mean, everybody understands that, so, but you know,
Shofate,
but again, you run into, you're asking a question, forget about the Ad Ramah. I mean, the language of Shofate usually means Dayan.
Yeah, but the Ramah makes the distinction between...
No. He's just saying that when you have the word Shofate, it means certainly means Din, and the absence of Shofate sounds like it's something else.
I don't think
you need the Ramah for that, but I think the point is that if you were to read the Pasuk, the Psukim, you certainly would get impression that Devorah was a shofetess. Although, whether she's a political shofetess or not, is open question. But since the Mishnah says that whoever is pasul le'edus is pasul le'din, and we know for, you know, very clearly that women are excluded daraisa from edus, so 95% of the Rishonim say, obviously she's psula le'din, because the criteria of din are even, you know, more demanding. And there, so what do you do with Devorah? The answer is, you know, it doesn't mean a formal Dayan. Again, to explain, her influence and her stature was no less because she wasn't a formal Dayan. She, you know, she was a very critical leader of Klal Yisrael. Whether it was more formal or more informal, that's important for Halacha Ladoros, but, you know, whatever her impact was, it was, and it was great. But, you know, you have a clash between the language of the psukim and the halachic reality as we know it. So one of the solutions to that is to reassess halachic reality, and some Rishonim tried to do that one day in Bali Tosis, but a very minority view. The majority is that you reassess the language and you assume based on the facts that confront you that it's more of a melitza in this case, or acting as a shofate rather than being a shofate, and that's how they interpret it.
Yeah, I want to push the point one. Okay. The Ramah really focuses on the word tishpot.
Right, and two, because he has two psukim, and normally normally shoftim v'shotrim titan l'chal b'chol sharecha. I mean, you don't need the Yad Ramah. Oh, but you don't need the Yad Ramah for that. But meaning we everybody is aware of the problem. The question is that you have a stira between the objective halacha and the language of the pasuk, and you know, typically that happens, you know, now and then, you know, more a lot actually, and you know, these are the different methods of solution. In the case of the Rishonim's view of that particular you know, problem, their 95% view is to understand it in an informal, you know, way, meaning had she had the impact of a shofetas, even though she wasn't a shofetas in the. But that's a different story. Okay. Now, so getting back, I just want to read a couple more lines in the Gemara, and then I want to get back to the language of Botzea and Pshara in the three and the one. Okay? So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, let's just move on a little bit more. Tan Rabbanan, Kashem Shahadin Bishlosha, just as. Also, the language is just very. Not only the din and the Pshara part, but the. In Makshin and Pshara, the din. So here too, Kashem. Right? The word, whenever you see the word Kashem, it's loaded. It's a loaded phrase. Because you're equating things that obviously don't have to be equated. So, kishem shahadin b'shlosha, just as din is b'shlosha, what do you gain by saying kishem shahadin? But if you wanted to say that bitsua requires shlosha, you could say, Tana Rabbanon, bitsua b'shlosha. Right? When you say kishem, what you're saying is that there seems to be a connection between, you know, real law and pshara, meaning pshara is specialized law. So kishem shadin b'shlosha, kach bitsua b'shlosha. Then the Gemara says, nigmar hadin, if there's a gemar din, this is a fascinating question, right? We'll get to the question soon, whether pshara is preferable, allowable, or even undesirable. Three views in the Gemara. But for now, the Gemara, let's just take it as it is. The Gemara says, at what point can you switch? Let's say you started off with Din Torah. Two protagonists that came to court, right? Reuven and Shimon. And they're involved in a regular Din Torah with regular Dayanim and regular Dinim. And at some point, they want to switch over to Pshara. Can they do that or not? At what point is it too late to do that? So again, this might be an open question no matter what, but I would think that, you know, it might be related to the question of how you understand pshara, and, you know, whether a pshara is a form of din or an absolute abdication of din. But in any case, what the Gemara tells us here, and we'll see another view soon, is that nigmar adin, once the psak has been proclaimed by the dayanim, iyata rashai livtzoa. There's no possibility of bitsua after that point. Meaning no pshara after Gemar Din. Here there's an interesting argument between Rashi and Tosas about the following. Rashi says, Nigmar Din, Sha'amru ish ploniat tazakai, ish ploniat achayiv. Then it's also livtzoa, mishabo l'dayan, also dayanim livtzoa. We'll get that in a second. But basically, what Rashi's saying is, if there's an actual Gemar Din, after the Gemar Din, you can't switch over to pshara. The Bali Tosas think that that's too obvious, and therefore it can't be the pshat in the Gemara. And even though it says the words, another example of what we were talking about a second ago, right? The words nigmar din are pretty clear. And in, you know, absent any legal problem, there's no ambiguity in the words nigmar din. Nigmar din appears in the Gemara, you know, tens of times, hundreds of times, tens of times at least. And nigmar din means a psak din, a final psak. But Tosa says it cannot be the meaning here, because if that were the meaning, it would be too obvious. Nigmar din yatar ashar livsoa, says Tosas. Kegon shekvar diktiku b'din etev. They have already investigated this matter thoroughly, right? Ukemo gomru esadin, right? Meaning, delo michsar elish ploniat achayiv. They haven't formally pronounced it or announced it, but they know what they're going, they can be chozer, you know. But until or unless they're chozer, this is how they're going to resolve this case, and they know it. The kivin din is barer kol kach ein lahatoso lasos pshara. Since they know what the psakin objective din is going to be, for them to now impose or convince the bali dinim to accept the pshara in a way is to be dishonest with them, says Tosas. Okay, she'el mole hayodeya shen is barer dino. Let's go. If one of them, you know, whether it's Reuven or Shimon, knew that they were about to get everything, they were about to be pronounced the winning party. Lo haya misratze lipshara b'shum inyan. They wouldn't want a pshara under any conditions.
But isn't that muvan me'elav?
What's that?
Isn't that muvan me'elav?
What?
That about then. I mean, if you don't.
Well, I don't think it's. You know what? I don't think it's muvan me'elav, and I'm guessing that of all people in the room, you know, you probably should know why the best.
Well,
okay. What do I mean by meaning? Let's say you're a judge, and you know how you're going to pass it, right? But you also and it's a zero sum game, and you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to pass it like Reuven, right? But you also know that, let's say from a shalom, let's take it from both points of view. You know that from a shalom point of view, this is not going to be the most constructive psak for their resumption of peaceful relations between them. a better psak for both of them, including the winning party, in the longer run, as we discussed a little bit last week, would be something that they would be fairer, even from a pure justice point of view. Because the law is formulated in a certain way, for good reason, over time, objectively, right? So you're going to have to give Reuven, you know, the full victory. But, you know, you as a judge know that Shimon isn't completely without, his position is not completely without merit. If you were given the opportunity to rewrite the laws, in this case, maybe not objectively, because you know there's a certain safeguard in the lo plug, right? But in this particular, if you knew that you could render judgment in this case, you know, only, and it wouldn't have, you know, any precedent repercussions anywhere else, you'd rather go with a 3/4 and 1/4, you know, than 100%, you know, zero disposition of the case.
Right.
So it isn't so obvious in terms of either what's better for the party or what's more just that, you know, that just because the judges know how they're going, you know, in route A, you know, that they can't still try to convince the Balei Dinim to accept an alternative form of din. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's so obvious.
No, right.
I'm saying the reason I, you know, I didn't mean to be so whatever, but meaning, it, you know, people who deal with these, I'm guessing that's probably true, right? Because every judge, every person who's rendering any kind of a decision, as we know, it's complicated. Meaning there are different, you know, considerations always in. So you as a member of the court, right? You are bound, you know, in terms of your integrity and your oath and your function, you know, to render decisions according to a certain way. But if you're in a more flexible kind of a system, you might be doing it differently. So there's no contradiction between these two things, really. That's why I think what Tosfos is saying. Listen, I think even Rashi isn't so obvious. In other words, Nigmar Adin, why can't I say, listen, this is the psak, Reuven and Shimon. But you know what? If you want to listen to me, right, I think that the more just psak isn't 100% Reuven, zero for Shimon, you know, and you know, and hard feelings, or even just, you know, an absolute advocacy of one position over the other. I really see it as being more complex. If you want to know what I think the ultimate justice could be, notwithstanding the Nigmar Din on an objective level, I don't think it's so obvious either.
If
you look at it this way, if you look at it in terms of Shalom, I think it's a little more, once the Gemar Din is actually given, I think it's a little more problematic. But
I would just add a little wrinkle.
Yeah.
Rather than to say to the litigants, as of this point, Reuven is going to win hands down, and Shimon, you're going to lose. So maybe you should concede and work something out. I think the wrinkle is the way I think one works.
Well, in Tosfos, that's not what happens.
I mean,
in Tosfos, they know. They haven't told anybody anything.
Okay, yeah, but I think the way to explain it to the litigants of the Balei Din is you say, the way Din is constructed, one of you is going to walk out of here very unhappy,
right,
and one of you is going to be a winner.
Right.
So my suggestion is, you take some time and see whether you can bridge the gap.
Well, yeah, we don't want them to bridge the gap. That's the pshara of Balei Dinim. We want them to allow us, meaning the Dayanim, who have experience, and who are again, it isn't just pure Shalom, perhaps. It may be based on the principles of the law, right, but with a more flexible application. But the point is that we're, right, yeah, got a question.
Would the pshara of the Balei Dinim, the Riyaz, the pshara, you be able to do even after Gemara Din?
So that's what the Riyaz says.
Okay.
The Riyaz says, even though the Gemara limits pshara to prior to Gemar Din, whether it's Rashi's or Tosis's, he says that's the pshara of the Dayanim. Mm-hmm. But the pshara of the Balei Dinim, he says that can be at any time. Why? Because that's pure Shalom. So he himself is kind of saying, you know, there's always room for Shalom. Within Din, one Din or another Din, that is a cutoff point. That's his idea.
Also, is Tosis more Shalom?
So I think Tosis is more Shalom and Rashi's more Din. That's my, I can't prove it, but that's my speculation.
Then the question is, if they don't know about it, then why does it matter? if it, you're trying to create some sort of peace, even if it's maybe not objective peace, it's a subjective peace between them. They think that everything is...
Right, I just think that there's more... I say it the other way. There's more flexibility in... I think it's the other way. In other words, what Tosis is saying is, like, you know, of course, it's obvious completely that you can't... Once there's a psak din, that you can't move to something else, because that would be a complete... That would be completely dishonest, you know, to the party who already won, you know, just doesn't know it. And what I'm saying is that maybe Rashi's view is there are still two perspectives on justice here. There's justice objective and there's justice subjective. It's true that in justice objective, Reuven won, but in justice subjective, he really shouldn't win everything. And therefore, if not for the Gemara telling us, you know, that still there's a limit, come on, you know, these processes are not infinitely fungible or flexible, so you know, there's still reason. There might have been reason to think that there's never a limit, basically. Okay. Anyway, Tosfos goes on to say, "Upirus bekuntres kvar amru ish ploniat azaka ish ploniat achayev." But and listen, you know, to this. Tosfos says, "The lashon hashas." We'll see when we get to the continuation. Muchach kein. He says, "I totally concede to Rashi that the language of the Gemara up here and the continuation of the Gemara down here was both reinforce his view." Bevadai. Avakasha, my bitsua, shaya chashta, acharshanitsa kadin, legamri. But he says, I have a logical problem, and sometimes, like I said to you about Devorah and the Shofet and the Ramah and the whatever, sometimes a halachic logical problem forces you to reread even a text. Even if you acknowledge that otherwise you would have read it differently. That's not poor pshat. You know, that is, you know, reading contextually. You know, again, I always like to quote either Sherlock Holmes or Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, depending on, I guess, your point of view, you know, in this matter, right? And that is that, you know, when you know, it's what Sherlock, you know, said, you know, not frequently, but at least a couple of times, which is that when you eliminate the impossible, right, whatever remains, no matter how improbable, is the truth. So, you know, pshat can sometimes be something which otherwise would be improbable, but is the pshat, given the fact that the alternative is the impossible. I think it's a good... I don't know whether either Sherlock or Conan Doyle meant to be defining pshat, but... or complex pshat, but I think it's not bad. I think it really works. Okay. Yeah. Say that again?
That was the Ross methodology for the that when it came to an impossible explanation, it didn't work out according to the Ross logic, because obviously there's something wrong.
Right, I think it's not right. I mean, any good, you know, halachic thinker, you know, who you always have to weigh that, you know, the unvarnished reading of it, or any kind of thinker, you always have to weigh the unvarnished reading of a text, which is very weighty, you know, with other evidence, you know, and, you know, that's why there's debate, because how much do you assign to each factor, right? Okay, anyways, this is a good example of it. So this is a very interesting issue, which we'll get back to. Then the Gemara goes on and says as follows. But this is all connected. Rabbi Elazar ben Osho, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Omer, Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, said, Asur Livtsoa. Okay? So again, we're going to see the perspectives here. Asur Livtsoa, you're not allowed to do pshara. Right? The Chalabotzea, Areza Chote. Right? Them is fighting words. Right? Chalabotzea, Areza Chote. Wow. Okay? The Chalamavarech is a botzea. Right? Anybody who compliments a compromiser, right? Hareza Menoitz. Valzenemar Botseya Beirech Nietz Hashem. Okay? Ella, rather, so what, I mean, what's the problem with Pshara? As I say, these are very harsh words here, right? So what's the significant downside of Pshara? Ella Yikov Hadin Esahar. It's an affront, right? When you have the opportunity of solving something justly or by compromise, according to this view, it's an affront to the objective, you know, compelling quality of justice. Again, the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, you know, b'midas hadin, And, you know, tzedek, you know, has a lot going for it. So, you know, passing the opportunity to solve something justly, even for the sake of peace or compromise, is viewed as a slap in the face to din. Ela yikov adin asahar. Shenemar ki amishpat lilo kimhu. Right? The chen Moshe haya omer. Moshe used to say this. Yikov hadin esahar.
What? Because if you're not judging,
mishpat is
if you're not judging
godly,
you're doing something against God's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mishpat is a godly endeavor.
Right, and therefore by
Yigvah Hashem Tzavakos by Mishpat, right? Okay. And therefore,
violate that.
It's unviolable, but right, meaning even its avoidance, you know, is offensive. They're not saying it doesn't work. Anybody can give away their money. Everybody can decide, you know, to operate. But, you know, basically suggesting, you know, compromise is an affront to din. That's, now again, we don't really paskin this way. But you know what? It's like other days in the. It's an important perspective. Even if we don't paskin this way, it's a beautiful. It's a crystallization of the divinity of din, right? Now you might end up saying now if you hold this one more second that pshara is a form of din, right? Then this doesn't make so much sense. So obviously, it seems like this view is taking the perspective that pshara is compromise. What's wrong with shalom? Shalom is fine, but not at the expense of din. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah.
But as you're saying, is you shouldn't promote amaratus. He is saying the exact opposite of the Yad Rama.
We'll get to it. Yeah, 100%. Well, the Yad Rama, we'll see soon, you know, is according to the other views, for sure.
I know years ago, when they came out with Zman Kosher.
Yeah.
So, what was that? I forgot who Rosh Hashiva was. Like kosher? This is amaratzes. So the land of you said paskinin. He said, you know, it's an avoiding
right.
of learning, of knowing the details of sirus.
Right, right.
And this is exactly what he's saying. When you're engaging in pshara,
you're abdicating din.
Promoting amaratzes.
Right, in a way, in a way. Amaratzes, and also just, you know, the idealism, you're giving up on the idealism of din, which has a divine quality.
It was Rabbi Burek who said that.
Ah. Okay, interesting. Listen to this. Aval Aaron, contrast to Moshe, right? Oev Shalom Verodev Shalom. Aaron was the ultimate pursuer of peace, right? Umesim Shalom Ben Adam Lechavero. Shenemar, Tarasa Mes Haisav Befiyu, right? Va'avla Lo Nimsa Besfasav, Beshalom Abimishar, Halach. Right? Alachiti, sorry, but rather may shiv me avon. So the what's fascinating. So what this is? We just finished saying that kol abotzea is a chote, right? You have to do yikav adin asahar. You know, it belongs to it's the midah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and then they quote Aaron HaKohen. So what are they trying to say? So Rashi says right away. Look at Rashi. Osur livtzoa, right? Rashi adds some words. Mishabo ledin osu ledayanim livtzoa. If somebody comes to court, right, then he should be given the ideal solution of din. But if he doesn't come to din, hamavaruk on tzarem shemech abel aron oiv shalom v'rodiv shalom v'kim shaya shomea machlokas beneim kodem sheyabo lefanav ledin hayarodiv acharem amatul shalom beneim, meaning. Rashi is asking a question and giving an answer. Rashi is saying, according to this view, so Aaron HaKohen was a chote, chalila, right? And Aaron HaKohen is being contrasted with Moshe. He is as a personality, right? But in an important argument like this, the answer is no. You have to keep your perspective here. This din that shalom, let's say. Right is l'chatchila not supposed to interfere with din? That's only mishabo l'din. But if before you get to court, you want to settle things peacefully, you know, so that you don't even have to come to court, you know, then that's a different story. That's the story of Aaron HaKohen. Tosis likewise says something similar. Tosis says aval Aaron pirish kivan shaloyan dayan velo haya hadin balafanav elifnei Moshe vaday lididei shari. Right? Now it's fascinating, the Riyaz, remember we mentioned the Riyaz a minute ago, two types of pshara. The pshara of a dayan and the pshara of the balidinim, right? So the Riyaz says, since I hold our two types of pshara, and the second one can even be after Gemar Din, that's what we mean by Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen was involved in the pshara of balidinim, even after they came to court, but it wasn't the pshara of dayanim. Okay, so that three different answers, and similar answers. Others, and certainly according to the other deis in the Gemara, will tell you, no, this is really the Midah of Aaron as opposed to Moshe, and it's a good thing. But not according to this view, according to the second. So let's look at the other view. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Haresha Gozal Sashal Chitim, V'tochen Av Yafa, V'hipper Shemen Achala, Ketzen Mavarech. Right, if you stole the flour, right, of the Chitim, and then you ground it up, and you baked it, and you're a mafresh challah, so should you make a bracha on the hafreshes kabbalah, the soles, even though it's not in the same state, was stolen. So the answer is, ketzemar, how can you make a bracha on that? Ein zemavarech, ela minayitz. Valzeh nemar, ubotzea, beirech, niyetz. That's how he interprets the pasuk. It doesn't refer to pshara, it refers to a thief, right? That's the whole issue. If you do a maisavera, right, or a mitzvah baba avera, something like that, do you make a bracha rishona? Do you make a bracha achrona? Machlokes in the Rambam, the Rai, then a whole discussion. Fine. That's the view, and anyways, that's the first view of the Gemara. The second view, Rabbi Meir Omer, lo namar botseya lekeneged Yehuda. No, I'm sorry, we're not there yet. The word botseya and botseya chote refers to Yehuda. What do you mean? Shenamar v'yomer Yehuda elachiv. Elachav, sorry, ma betza kinarog es achinu. What's the problem? Yehuda was the only one who stepped forward to save Yosef. Right? So why are we hard on him? Why are we harsh on Yehuda? The others wanted to kill him. Right? The answer is, of course, Yehuda had the ear of his brothers. He was already sensitive, you know, to the fact that this was not, you know, appropriate in any way. Now, I like to make the diuk. He's the only one who called Yosef Achinu, right? The rest of them were relating to him as if he was not even a member of the family, as a stranger. So given, and I think it's a very important Musar Haskel, you know, instead of saying, oh well, at least Yehuda was halfway there, the bigger point is, if he had the sensitivity to realize that this was an avla, and that, you know, brotherly affection, you know, precludes all of this, then his obligation was to be fully consistent and to go much further even. His compromise in this case was something which is even worse, right? V'cholam mevarech es Yehuda, reza menayitz, etc. V'alzeh ne'emar botzeh berech niyetz Hashem. Fine. Anyways, back to Pshar. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, the second view, mitzvah l'vtzoa. Okay, you're not a chote, it's not osur, right? It's the opposite. Mitzvah l'vtzoa. It's a mitzvah to pursue Pshar. Shenemar, Emes u'mishpat v'shalom shiftu b'sha'arechem. Right, beautiful pasuk. Right, v'halo b'mokom she'esh mishpat ein shalom. B'mokom she'esh shalom ein mishpat. Usually shalom and mishpat, of course this is totally relevant to our analysis, are tartet sasri, they're mutually exclusive. Ezu mishpat she'esh bo shalom. What is mishpat she'esh bo shalom? Evo merzeh. Bitsua, pshara is mishpat sheyesh bo shalom. But of course that just heightens our issue. Meaning, it's taking mishpat and turning it into shalom, or it's a shalom dekamitz, you know, a shalom dekamishpat, meaning it's a more ambitious or a different type of din itself. Okay. Dechem b'david u'omer v'ahi David oseh mishpat u'tzdaka, right? V'alo komokom sheyesh mishpat ein tzedaka, right? Tzedakah ain mishpat. Usually mishpat and tzedakah mean two different things, right? One has a connotation of being, you know, voluntary or supererogatory. The other, of course, is basic and legal, a legal requirement. Ela ezu mishpat sheyesh bo tzedakah. Have omer zu bitzua. Bye. The Gemara says, Asan latanakama, donis adin, zika sazaka, chiv zachayev, rosh and ischayev ani mamon, v'shilam le mitoch beso, Ze mishpat utzdaka. Mishpat laze utzdaka laze. Mishpat laze shehichsu lo mamon. Tzdaka laze sheshilam lo mitech beso. It's a different pshat. In other words, the dayan does the right thing in din, and his empathy is expressed by his own act of tzedakah. And that's what it means. V'chein David Omer, v'hi David osa mishpat utzdaka, l'chalamo, mishpat lazeh shehichsi lo esmamo. No, mishpat for the one who gets back what is owed him, tzedaka lazeh shehshilam l'tok pesa. So the Gemara says, kashal Rebbe, hay l'chalamo l'aniyam miboyle, should say l'aniyam, el Rebbe Omer afa pishal l'shilam l'tok pesa. Even, this is very interesting, even if he does it, liyab an ani and an ashir, they're in a din Torah, the ashir is right, the dayan paskins like the ashir, so now the ani has to pay. So the, what the Gemara says is, no, the real pshat is, afa bishaloshilim utech peso, zeo mishpat utztaka, mishpat lezeh, utztaka lezeh, mishpat lezeh shehichsula mamono, it's a din for the guy who got his money back, because he doesn't deserve to lose money, just because he's wealthy and the other guy is poor, doesn't mean that the fellow can illegally take from him. Utztaka lezeh shehotzik zeh lemitachas yado. Right. It doesn't matter that he's an ani. You're doing him a favor, right? By encouraging him, or even allowing him to hold on to the theft, right? In the end of the day, that's not empathy, right? Encouraging him or forcing him to do the right thing is also the tzedakah. Very interesting. Okay. Rav Shimba Menasi Omer Shnayim Shebaal Lefanecha L'Din. Oh, another perspective. Two people come to a din Torah. Achala tishma divrayim, until you haven't heard the case. O misha tishma divrayim viata yodela hechan adin nota ata rashay lomer lahem tzu'u ubitzu. If you even haven't heard any of the tainas, or it's a preliminary stage and you don't know where the din is going, so then you can say, you know what? I think you guys should do a pshar. Tzu'u ubitzu. Misha tishma divrayim viata yodela hechan adin nota. Once you hear the case, and you have a good idea in your mind, the direction. Now, this is not the same as what we read earlier. Before was a later stage of actual Gmar Din, or even according to Tosis, it's pre-Gmar Din. Here, it's not even pre-Gmar Din. It's just, you know, you're forming, you know, an instinct about how it's going to end, but you're not there yet. Yata rashoi lomar tzu'u bitzu, shenemar poter mayim reishis madon, V'lifnei hitgala hariv netosh. Right? Kodeshen izgala hariv atayachal lenacho. Mishen izgala hariv iatayachal lenacho. Okay. I'm going to stop here for a second. Okay. So we have these two views. We have these views about whether or not pshara is a mitzvah or an iser. Later on we'll discuss a third view, and that is that pshara is a rishus. So in light of that, I want to go back for a minute to the next Yad Ramah. So the Yad Ramah on the Vav Amud Beis asks the question, the linguistic question that we raised, which is, how come sometimes the Gemara calls compromise Botzea or Bitsua, and sometimes they call it Pshara, right? And sometimes in the same discussion, they switch back and forth. What's with that? Oh. So the Adramas says a few things about this. Look, starting from line 10. V'amrina le'me ketanai, v'tanya bitzua begimel, right? Bitzua requires three dayanim, says the Ramah. U'bitzua ainu pshara. And bitzua, you can tell from the Shakla V'tari of the Gemara, right? Rashi says it also. Bitzua is pshara. V'amai kar le bitzua. So why do we call it Bitsua if it's Pshara? So he gives two opposite answers. A. Lefi shenoto mamon mizev enosen lazeh shelo kedin v'dami legazel. Remember before the Gemara said, that's why I wanted to read the Gemara. And Vamid Beis, that Botzea is chote, Botzea is gazel, kola Botzea, right, how does it go? Botzea beirech nietz Hashem, right, hashagazal sa'ah. So why do we call it Botzea? Because on one level, this dayan, or these dayanim who are imposing pshara, are kind of sanctioning gzela. How are they sanctioning gzela? The answer is because Reuven and Shimon have a din Torah. Reuven really is Zakai, and they're proposing some sort of, you know, compromise, which is leaving some of Reuven's money in Shimon's pocket, if you look at it that way. If for the sake of what? Peace? Fine. But it's still a peace. You know, it's not like, you know, the Riaz's Pshara of Baledinim, that everybody knew what was going on, right? It's an imposed peace, which is at the expense of the ownership of Reuven. So that's why we call it Botzea, because Pshara is legalized theft. Wow, them is harsh words too. V'yamtel hachi karle bitzua. Loshon kein orchos kol botzea betza. V'hainu diktani, why is it according to my number bitzua b'shlosha? Right? Divir Rabbi Meir, chachamim omrim pshar b'yachid. So the first pshat, lahachi karle Rabbi Meir bitzua, v'rabanan karle pshara, in the same argument, right? One says bitzua, one says pshara. The answer is, b'shem desvir le Rabbi Meir, da'asur libtzua. Maybe Rav Meir really holds, like the view in the Gemara, that Osur Livtzoa. And therefore, why is it Osur Livtzoa? As I said before, it's a fine-tuning, it's a more aspirational tzedek. So what's the problem? The answer is, if you really think it's Osur, and it's a violation, and a slap in the face, and effrontery to din, if you really think that, obviously your view of Pshara is that it is a form of shalom at the expense of din. And even then it's not so obvious, because maybe the value of shalom overrides or is equal to din. But you have to assume, A, pshara is not din, and B, that pshara, you know, once you've started the process of din, right, is inappropriate. If you hold all of that, then you could say, you know what, why is it inappropriate? Because on a certain level, once you started this framework of din, right, we really look at it as you're taking 30% of Reuven's money and giving it to Shimon. It's sanctioned, it's legalized theft. Right? Hilkach, korile bitzua, loshon gezel, v'rabanan sfirulu, the mutal of tzo. The rabban hold, again, this is the implicit, this is his pshat. It doesn't say that in the Gemara previously, right? That this is the connection. But he's saying, must be, mutal of tzo. Oh, so that's why korile shara. They don't use this loaded negative terminology. That's the first view of the Adrama. However, Ikad Amri says the Rama the exact opposite. The exact opposite. The Hainu Taima demanda machmir loy korle bitzua. It's the opposite. The one who requires three basically is the one who seems to require greater, you know, sagacity, deliberation, right? You know, to come to this conclusion. Where he's actually more machmir, not less machmir. Not playing fast and loose. He's really, you know, pondering, or there pondering, like a din Torah. It's makshinim pshara ledin, right? So, manda mekil korib pshara. The exact opposite of what he said before. So, rabbana debe midrasha deboi laikume plut to the shmu rabbavo ketanoi. The kulama makshinim pshara ledin, the tzivai david osa mishparut stokha. For me, the kaman is a mishpat sheshpat stokha avamrza bitsua. Originally, the Gemara thought that everybody agrees makshin and pshar l'din, and the argument is about din. But then the Gemara changed its mind, right, and said no. So Meir Rabbanan b'hakam iflagir Meir savar din b'shlosha u'midadin b'gimel bitzua u'midadin b'gimel. Sorry, bitzua nami b'gimel Rabbanan savar din b'yachid, right, u'midadin b'yachid pshar nami. And then the Gemara rejects it. It's the Gemara that we read. Lo, de kula alma on line 18. Everybody agrees din begimel. Din requires three dayanim. This is the argument. Rav Meir savar makshinim pshara ledin. Rav Meir holds that we equate pshara and din. Ma din begimel, af bitzua begimel. Now if you can compare the two, so what is bitzua? Rabbanan savri lo makshinim pshara ledin. Af agav de din Bigimel, Pshar Biyachid. Hashti Ikalimer, the Lahachi Afka Rameir, Beloshim Bitsua. This is the second pshat. Now we know why Rameir, who requires three, who compares to Din, calls it Bitsua. You know why? Fisha Tsrichim, Levatseya, Hamamon. You have to cut the money, Ulachalko, and to divide it, Kadeshali Echad Mehem Nifsad Yosemidai. You have to make sure that everybody's interests are protected. This is a super din. Kadesh Tzorach Ledakte Kvo. You have to be more careful how you cut this compromise, because we don't want, you know, it to be out of whack, disproportionate to fairness. Rabbanan Sabri lo makshinim pshara ledin. Mishimochi afku b'lashim pshara, lashim kal. Shein tzorch ledaktik v'davar kol kach. Exactly the opposite of what he said earlier. But we can understand in both cases that we're talking about a clash between two perspectives on pshara. So look at the next piece. In the next piece, the Yad Ramah is bothered by the following question. Remember the Gemara said, does pshara need a kinyan? Right? If it does, then why does it need three dayanim? And Rashi explained, because if you have three, if it's kinyan, it's like a matana, so why do we care how many dayanim it is? And if it's like dayanim, then we know it shouldn't need a kinyan. A din doesn't need a kinyan, right? So the Yad Ramah weighs in on that question too. Look at number 23. The Hashad Itzel of the Pshar Tzricha Kinyan, now that we paskin that you need three dayanim and pshara tzricha kinyan. Ikali yuni, right? Let's investigate. Hani tanoi de pligi be pshara be my pligi. What are they arguing about? E de konuminayu. If there's a kinyan, it's kind of your question from before. Afilu krovim nami afilu katanim. He doesn't mention nashim, but he says doesn't matter. And psule dayanim should work too. So how do we care? We shouldn't care about the number. We shouldn't care about the makeup. The conflict could be katanim, could be krovim, could be nashim. This should make a difference. Because what are we really saying? There's a kinyan. Meaning what? It isn't real din. It's a schaivus. And if it's a kinyan, what do they need even anybody? Let them just decide themselves. Right? As long as they admit, they don't deny that they made this commitment to each other, where they can't back out. There's a quote of a Gemara in Kedushin Daf Samachay, which we've seen many times over the years. Meaning, The need for Edim, outside of Gittin and Kedushin, perhaps, certainly Kedushin, is just for to prove it happened. Right? Labor side of the Shakri. It's not Edikim. The Idolo, Koniminayu, if there's no commitment, Afilu Be'a Saranami Lo Mahani, Lo Midi, then, you know, then it shouldn't work anyway. Even if there are 10 Edim, 10 judges rather. Because we say we need a Kenyan. So if you have a Kenyan, why do we care the number? If we don't have a Kenyan, you know, all the numbers aren't going to help you. Ikal Meimar, Drabmei, Rabbanim, Pligi, Bipshara, Labadi, Evid, Pligi, He Pligi, Lechatchila. No, they're arguing not, you know, what happens if you make a commitment, but Lechatchila, how should this be resolved? Okay? Drabmei, Sabar, Makshinim, Pshara, Ledin. Listen to this. Vichihechi, De'ein, Rashoin, Ledun, Bepachas, Migimel, Kachin, Rashoin, Lasos, Pshara, Bepachas, Migimel. You need three Dayanim, Lechatchila, because it isn't just a Schaivus. It's compared to din for good reason, because it's a form of din. Kedei she'ainu bedavar heitev. We're in line 27. So that you should investigate, you know, thoroughly, deeply, lefi ma she'inein ros, according to what they really think is just. Kedei she'la tricho alachem mibalei dinim yeser midai. They shouldn't be overbearing, you know, to one bal davar over the other. Rabbanan Sabri, lo makshinim pshara l'din. No, nothing to do with din. V'im yishum shalei atrichu alechad mibali dinim yasa midai. Right? B'chad sagi, there's no problem, because there's no precise solution. T'alav dinahu. B'chad yachal l'chavni. It's not a din. It's just a compromise. But our mayor, I mean the one who says three, he says, it is a din, it's a form of din. Right? B'chad yachal l'chavni kalai shiura. If they just did it without even the simulation of a pshara, everybody agrees it would work. Now look at the next piece. So the Yad Ramah was really bothered by the Gemara's conclusion, because the Gemara seems to say pshara, we'll discuss this more next week, but pshara tzricha kinyan, right? And even then you need three dayanim. So he said, you know what, maybe that isn't the final psak. Maybe when the Gemara said pshara tzricha kinyan, it's only according to the Mandamar, that you don't need three dayanim. And the Bahag holds this way, and the Ravon holds this way. So listen to the Ramah's explanation. The Im Nafshach Lomar, maybe what you could say is, Rav Meir, Deboi Gimel, Rav Meir, who requires three, why? Demakish pshara ladin, and will add. And he sees what? He sees pshara as a form of din. Lo boy kinyan, he really doesn't require kinyan. The dayan lo boy kinyan. And a person involved in bitsua, right, is still a dayan. That's the reason we're not three. Kidukya. So that we'll be medayik. Right? The Ravashi, Rabban, and the Sagilu Bechad, the others who hold that you can get away with one, Sviralu de Pshar, Tzricha Kenyan, Macha de Lomak Shinim Pshar Ladin. The Chibo Chad, the Chatchila, who de Bo. That it's fine to have one, even the Chatchila. Machi Karmi, the Chadami, Isle Rashusa, the Chatchila, the Mevin Pshara. The Lespa Mishim Alti, Don Yechidi, the Lomak Shinim Pshar Ladin. Right? In other words, what we're dealing with is a compromise. Shalom. So the three or four sections in different places of the Arama are consistently integrating this debate about the nature of Pshara into the different discussions of the Gemara, you know, how many Dayanim, the terminology of Botseya and Pshara, the requirement of Kinyan, the double Tzedek. Tzedek, especially if you put them together, right, a very strong pattern emerged. So another example of this, which I'm not going to talk about right now because our time is up, is Ben Noach. Does Ben Noach, Ben Noach is Mitzvah Bedinim. Remember, we discussed it earlier in the year. That's the Gemara on Nun Vav Amud Aleph in Sanhedrin, and then the continuing discussion on Nun Vav Amud Beis. One of the Shevets Ben Noach is Dinim. Does that include Pshara? That's an interesting question, right? If so, as a form of din or something else. Right. Tzedakah u'mishpat. What's the tzedakah in tzedakah u'mishpat? And is it a requirement for Shabbos of Bnei Noach, for Bnei Noach? So I want to talk about that next week. Then I want to talk about more about the question of Shara Tzvicha Kenyan. When is the Kenyan made? What is the point of the Kenyan if you still require three Dayanim? And some of the issues that come out of that, and the Pilot Tzvicha Kenyan, big Tosis here, and so on. It's a shame.